Australian Bible Church, April 27th, 2014. Presbyterian Church following the Lord without compromise and the Bible without qualification by faith. Along the basic thrust of the Church of our Forefathers, Presbyterian Church of Australia, in its 1901 constitution, and today, falls, good and bad. The fall into condemnation, on the one hand, and the fall at his feet, on the other. Falls, good and bad. The fall into condemnation, and the fall at his feet. Come to me, said Christ. Come out of her, says the word of God concerning that unholy, pseudo-ecumenical horror called Babylon at the end. First of all, let's look at different sorts of falls. Have you considered the falls? Cascades of dramatically urgent water, sparkling in the brilliance of the sunlight, with the mists ascending with splendor. Great rushing of turbulent waters suddenly exposed as the light transcendently rushes through them. The mist, the mantle, the glory, the crown, tumultuous in power, terrible in danger, marvel in majesty, light and foaming, deep and rushing. These falls can be uplifting to the human spirit. There's another sort of fall, however. You find it in Isaiah 21:9. Babylon is fallen, and all the carved images of her gods he has broken to the ground. Again in Jeremiah 51, 8, 9, you have it, with a sad addition. Babylon, I mean the equivalent of Moscow in its day, the equivalent of Peking in its day, with that name, Beijing. The equivalent of the great of the earth, the great imperial majesties. Babylon is a type of that hype. Babylon, says Jeremiah 51, has suddenly fallen and been destroyed. Wait, wail for her. Take balm for her pain. Perhaps she may be healed. That background to the lovely therapeutic urgency that many nurses have. God says, we would have healed Babylon. All those people defame God by making it look as if he's harsh, because for the 100th time he's been rejected and ignored, blasphemed against and degraded by minds without light or understanding, heavily laden with lust. We would have healed Babylon. Imperial, gross, degraded, torturous, torturing Babylon. Even that he would have healed. But she is not healed. Forsake her, therefore. Forsake her and let us go everyone to his own country, for her judgment reaches to heaven. Slow starvation. Gross, shameless executions. In the Ukraine, with love from Russia, who now says it has proper interests in the Ukraine. Interest for what? Forsake her and let us go everyone to his own country. The Lord has revealed our righteousness. What righteousness? The righteousness which the Lord has revealed is the righteousness which is shown in this same prophet Jeremiah at 23. Jeremiah has revealed what the Lord's righteousness is, and it is given to his people through faith by which they stand in him. The Lord has revealed our righteousness, and it speaks of his works, and this is his great work. Behold, the days are coming, says Jeremiah 23:5. Says the Lord, that I will raise up to David a branch of righteousness. That's the Christ, that's the Messiah, that's the source, that's the one who took away the evil where faith may find it, and gave the good. Righteousness a gift, as Romans 5:17 declares. I will raise up to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. His, in his days, Judah will dwell safely. That is where righteousness lies. As you see in Psalm 32, as you see in Psalm 71. The Lord only is my righteousness, David indicates. In Ephesians 2, by grace are you saved through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So the word of the Lord fell on that which insisted on its own righteousness, that is to say Babylon in that case. And Babylon, you read of it, don't you, in Revelation. You read of the harlot Babylon. It gave its name to the whole type of imperial folly, of naturalistic substitutes for the living God, of marvelous innovative sorceries, as the Bible calls them. Babylon is the very epitome of false and fraudulent prophets. Follow their own pronouncements, monetarily enriched very often, seeking following and esteem, statistical spirituality, grabby godlessness. 2 Peter 2 tells us, from your own midst they will arise. Babylon is an imperial exhibitor of this thing. God adds to his lament, speaking of the prophets in Jeremiah. Babylon is sort of made up mixture for many such false prophets. My heart is broken within me because of the prophets. We would have healed the Babylon, but she is not healed. Both prophet and priest, says Jeremiah 23, are profane. In my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. In my house! The way churches are being snuffed out by allowing the king culture to remove and remake Christ is one of the vast tragedies. And as the churches fall, so the politicians fall. As the politicians fall, so the nations fall. And they fall into a chaotic, muddling mess. In the end, Jerusalem, caught in the false leading of the prophets, was itself destroyed by Babylon, which was itself destroyed by the Lord, and it stayed smitten. As you see in Isaiah 13, never again would it rise. Saddam Hussein tried to make it do so, but even the bricks were poorly made, the whole thing cracked up. Never again would it rise, and never again did it. Yes, Jerusalem. But then, not just Jerusalem as destroyed by Babylon. There's another example of fall. Jerusalem again in the day of Christ. If you had known, even in this your day, the things that belong to your peace, now they are hidden from your eyes. If you had known, we would have healed Babylon. So with Jerusalem. So with many a nation that is now seeing how it can collude with the devil to ignore the designs of God in the human body, in the human soul, in the human spirit, in the nations and in the world. There was a day of opportunity, even then, for Israel, but she didn't know. He knew what would happen. He, the just one. I always love that in Acts 3, 14 and 15. You murdered the just one. Christ is the just one. That's where the righteousness lies. It is to be found. It doesn't have to be manufactured. It is there in perfection. It's been dismissed. Somewhat disabled in body by being crucified, but resurrected in body, enabling death to be seen as an enemy which could be removed into immortality by having God himself sacrificing himself in Christ, pay the penalty and provide the peace. So in our contemporary nation, there's more fall coming. Fall of Babylon. Fall of Nineveh. Fall of Rome. Fall of Jerusalem. The fall of this world in free fall. But the impact, as with a failed substitute, isn't so free. The nations are gathering together almost every sort of cadence of deceit and trickery, as in the Middle East, with the Islamic endeavours to make Jerusalem ungovernable and indefensible by gnawing like rats all the pieces that are left of this tiny diminutive relic of what was once an entire place, Palestine, gifted to them for a homeland, and they still talk of occupied territories when Jordan occupies a good deal of what was given to it in the first place. What a wicked corruption. How is it that the mind fails before such simple facts? Besides which, of course, God has given it to the Jews. And when you want to contest real estate with God, which he uses for such purposes as providing salvation as at Jerusalem, when you want to contest with God, it seems to me you would be unwise. It reminds me of the case of a Czechoslovakian teacher I once knew. And he was out in the snow on some hills, and he was being pursued. And his pursuers were there, it was all in the snow. And he saw them, and they didn't see him. So he had the advantage. They didn't know whether he had machine guns or what, I suppose. And he called out to them, "You have not seen me, huh? You have not seen me. You have never seen me at all, have you?" That was a threat. Pretend you didn't see me, and your lives may be spared. But we have seen the effects of God. You cannot ask him to pretend that he didn't see you. The eyes of the Lord try his eyelids. Behold the children of men. So Babylon is a type of fall, and it's quite useful because it suggests the fall for the whole world, which is coming amidst its incredible mutual deceptions and ill will and revenges and starvations and killings and wars and imperial majesties which don't care a hoot about killing a few more million to make their dream come true, which it never does. It can't. It says in Ezekiel, the Lord will overturn until he whose right it is comes. So, to revert to Babylon, because it's a very important type, because it's used in Revelation to refer to the last aggregation of spiritual misrule, Babylon would destroy and then be destroyed. Babylon was called a destroying mountain. And God said, "Behold, I am against you." Now, if God be for us, who can be against us? But if God be against you, what can be for you? You may have a grand time falling, maybe a few years, like the falling with a failed parachute, but the end comes, as Christ indicated, the end comes. Whether it be Babylon or the sinning ancient Israel, or permanently destroyed Babylon, or this world, the end comes. Heaven and earth will pass away. Who said that? Jesus Christ. But my word shall not pass away. As to Babylon, Jeremiah 45, she has been proud against the Lord. In Jeremiah, she has been proud against the Lord. A multitude of sorceries for the great abundance of your enchantments. Your wisdom and your knowledge have warped you. And you've said in your heart, "I am, and there's none else besides me." She has been proud against the Lord. Your wisdom and your knowledge have warped you. You have said in your heart, "I am, and there's none else beside me." Therefore, evil will come upon you. You will not know from where it arises. Babylon then has been scripturally characterized. We're well aware of her syndrome of pride, mercilessness, self-regard, self-assertion. And that is the Babylon that's found in Revelation 17. Sightable as a city of seven hills. Hence wrong. Sightable as towards the end of the age, just before Revelation 19, when Christ returns. Mystery Babylon, that is the name given to the spiritual carnalities and realities to be found in this evil and apostate body. Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots. That's something of a recommendation. She begets them. And of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints. There are such interesting endeavors to estimate how many million Christians may have been killed by the Roman Catholic body in the, for centuries maintained, Inquisition. A certain continuity in kind has come. You can go right back to Genesis. Hath God said, God's afraid that you'll become like him. You'll be up there. You'll be with God. You'll be part of the ultimate assembly. You'll have authority, unspeakable power, unthinkable. You'll be able to deal with the management. That's been it from the first. That has been it with Babylon. And it's been it with Roman Catholicism. God must do what the priest says one of them. He's God Almighty on earth, says another of them of the Pope. This is exactly that same work of unauthorized, innovative ceremonies and substitutes on the spiritual kind for God. One is your master. All of you are brethren. Death. Rome, the famous and celebrated city and center of religion. Destroyed. A vast worldwide center of religion at the end, based in Rome. Ever heard of it? Of the Vatican? Of the papacy? Ever heard of it? In chapter 18, hears of it. All the merchants who've been selling to it bewail the loss of custom. Her sins have reached into heaven, verse 5 of 18. God has remembered her iniquities. Kings of the earth who committed fornication, that is to say, whole emperors, whole empires, got into a collusion with Rome, the imperial, the spiritual, and the regal side of things. They committed fornication with her. They accepted her idols. They worshipped bread. If they had to, they were willing to do anything that was necessary. In one hour, such great riches come to nothing. Alas, alas, the great city. Verse 17. They threw dust in their heads. Rejoice over her, O heavens, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. There's a certain poignancy about it, to be sure. You hate to see all this majesty, beauty, artistry, and all the rest of it condemned, fallen, burnt up in an hour. Sounds marvelously atomic. It doesn't have to be. But it's when you read of the lives which it has destroyed, of the blood, of the misery, of the horror, of the deception, of the deviousness, of the self-exaltation. Speaking of Babylon, you remember, a type. That's why it's Mystery Babylon. It goes right to the beginning and goes on nearly to the end. Then you realize, well, there was no other way, there was no repentance. We would have healed the Babylon and all its various ingredients. And so the mystery proceeds. Not only to Rome itself, in the instance of Roman Catholicism, it's a spirit, though it has emblems and concrete stages like Rome, Babylon. It is all the ultra-ecumenical bodies which merge with, approve of, seek membership with, or get into ecumenical associations with Rome. It is a mystery. It is a type. All of that which works together, content with Rome, in a tent with Rome, or with the intent to be in a tent with Rome, all of those things come into the mystery Babylon, which is to be destroyed. It will be destroyed in its center, but its nerves, as it were, going out to its peripheries as of a body, it will also lose that. Sorcery is what it's called. What can you call it? When a piece of bread is to be worshipped. Oh, no, it's not a piece of bread. Well, how was it Christ didn't commit suicide when he broke the bread and he has only one body? This is spoken of in the Bible with respect to that body as a sorcery. There are two falls. One is to the knees in admiration and adoration of the Lord Jesus Christ. We would have healed Babylon. He would heal anyone. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of him. Having made peace with the blood of the cross, he would have all things, heaven and earth, reconciled to himself. You can fall to your knees in admiration and adoration of the Lord Jesus. The heart broken because of your own sin. And receive the washing, as in Titus 3, a beautiful passage to look at. A grand and glorious thing. In fact, I will read that passage of Titus 3, 3 to 5, because it brings out this majesty of his provisions and the marvel of his goodness. Titus 3. For we ourselves were once foolish and disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love, that's what communism lacks. People don't matter. The state matters. People are merely emblems of the state. Digits to be moved around. Meaningless, as with digitalization. Just little bits to be moved around so that the state, which is made up of people, ugly enough, can have its will. When I say the kindness, a very different matter, and the love of God, our Savior, toward man. No one needs say, I'm hopeless. If you know you're hopeless, you know a great deal more than some do. Anyone can say, well, he's not willing that he should perish. That includes me. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Speaking of Christians, they are saved people, as in Ephesians 2, by grace. And as in Ephesians 1:11, an inheritance is already given to them. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. That's kindness, that's love. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So since he's done it by his works, your works are not relevant for the entry mode to become a member of the kingdom of heaven. Through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified, his righteousness accredited to your account, by his grace we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Two folds. That's falling to the knees in admiration and adoration. The other fold, from the grandeur of presumption. Do you believe in God? Oh, I don't know, says somebody. You see all this stuff, don't you? Do you believe in government? Oh, I don't know. Do you think there is one? Do you believe in your own personal existence? Oh, I don't know. I sometimes wonder I'm here. Yes. It's neither here nor there, really, any of it. Oh, really? That's why your income tax matters so much. That's why your self-esteem matters so much. The presumption of pretending that the most important questions don't matter because there's not an axe available on the table to strike you dead if you dare go astray. To wait and imagine that acting with a bumptious arrogance and a pretentious presumption towards God doesn't really matter, when he would have healed even Babylon, even you. As to the former, falling to your knees in admiration, then engage in it. Rejoice in the place of grace that you can find. As to the latter, from the grandeur of presumption, disengage. You've heard of engagements. Can you imagine people getting engaged? They grow sick of each other. They don't want to marry. They don't want an upset. Or before you marry, and I'm speaking in spiritual terms, obviously, disengage. Get out of it. What does Revelation 18, in the midst of these things, have to say? It is this. Come out of her. Revelation 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her. To whom is it addressed? My people. Why is it addressed? Because this is a harlot and God has interested in a wife. Come out of her, my people. Saying, lest you share in her sins. Bad company makes bad life. If you are with someone, you're inclined to at least not condemn all the time, to be a sort of constant irritating chatterbox. You tend to go along with them to sing their songs. Lest you share, come out of her. Lest you share in her sins. Unless you receive her plagues, the things hidden in the conscience, the Jesuitical disregard of the actual truth. Lest you receive her plagues, for her sins have reached to heaven. And God has remembered her. It's nice to be remembered. A cheerio, a Christmas card, a birthday greeting. But in this sense, when God has remembered her iniquities, it's not so good to be remembered. It's better to cast away from that ship. It's better to come out of her and come into the dockland of the doctrine of Jesus Christ, offering free salvation to sinners who fall down on their knees, broken in heart, repentant in mold, in faith receiving him. Hebrews 6:19 refers to those who have fled for escape. So imagine, here comes the ship, you're on the wrong ship, you're coming to the dock, you're coming to the place where you can seek the Lord for yourself. There's a means of escape, the gangplank, get off. And there's another ship, the ship of faith. Get on. Come unto me, all you who labor, and I will give you rest. Get out, get in. There is a central work, a means of escape through him from this fallen world. It's represented in the end when the Lord returns as a place with Jerusalem where Christ was disregarded, now majestic in power, making the point there is one religion, because there is one God, and there is one place, the cross of Jesus Christ, where the salvation was made available freely. And in that one place, God will come, as in Zechariah 14:5, Isaiah 2:59-21, as in Micah 4. God will come. And that particular place, a thing of horror to those who presumptuously reject God, that particular place, which Turks and Muslims and many another, which these have tried to conquer, to keep under, to keep down, to possess, to ruin, to destroy, to obliterate. This is the sort of language that Hamas, for example, has been engaged in as the president, the former president of Iran. To get that place and to show it's all rubbish. It's hard to kick against the pricks. Paul found it, and so may Kerry, as he tries to have more and more of it taken away till it's an indefensible, minimal residue of what was freely offered by the League of Nations and the British Empire. With no small regard to thankfulness to a famous Jew who helped in the war. So the Jews are back, first stage of Ezekiel 37's depiction. In their own name, in their own place, as unconverted, they are now in Jerusalem, the Jews, it is as predicted. The next step is their conversion, as predicted. Then they will not only be Jews in their own place, which is Israel, which is given by promise to Abraham insofar as part of the Israel to be. They shall also be no more dislocated from the Lord. In their own place they shall have grace. That comes as in Zechariah 12:10. That's coming. There's the answer which will come to all those who are using strategic means and intimidating devices to get rid of Israel. Do not harden your heart, says Psalm 95. Do not harden your heart. Today is the day to repent. Today is the day not to be part of that generation of evil. All the imperial Babylons and the personalized subsets of them. Rather to be part of that generation of which David speaks in the Psalm 22. Having depicted the ruling horrors and anguish of the cross as Christ bears sin for those who shall believe in him to offer it to all. You have the reference to what Isaiah had said. Who shall declare his generation? He's got no kids because he's been crucified. And so Psalm 22 tells you, those who believe in the Lord will be accounted to him for the generation. There's no generation to be listed, the generation of Jesus Christ. So those who believe in him, they shall be accounted, says Psalm 22, for the generation. Why the? Because that's the one in question. Where is this generation? He had none. That's the generation. That's the generation to join. That's the place to be. Instead of physical descendants coming by birth, you have spiritual descendants coming by regeneration. The one is a lowly affair with pain, physical birth. That gets you into that type of generation. But into the spiritual generation, all those who believe in Christ, spoken of in Psalm 22, this generation is manufactured by regeneration, so there's a realization of the reality of the remedy, which is Christ crucified, yea, rather, isn't. So the thundering majesty of the mighty fall of Christ, not into sin, but into the pit for salvation and temporary death. That has the glory of Niagara, of the Victoria Falls. Here is the humble necessity to fall down and receive what he did by his fall, which was not failure, but a preliminary to triumph. And to realize, as in Colossians 3:1, what's the sort of way this generation is to go? If then you are raised with Christ, we read, seek those things which are above. You fall down in worship that you may be raised up, sitting in heavenly places with Christ in your spirit. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden. That's the regeneration. The old one's gone. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Is that true of you? Is your life hidden because he has borne your sins, regenerated you? You're like a branch in a vine. Is your life hidden with Christ in God? Do you make all your decisions and value judgments? Do you make all your resolutions to come from the reading of Scripture and the reading of the mind of Christ by seeking him according to the Word of God in the Spirit of God? Listen, when Christ, who is our life, appears, Paul goes on, the Holy Spirit goes on, for he has inspired him. When Christ, who is our life, appears, set your mind on the things above, then you also. Now I want you to take these next words, 8 words. You also will appear with him in glory. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your grace. We thank you for your plain goodness. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your sacrificial love. We thank you for your ransom. We thank you for your redemption. We thank you for your eternal regality. We thank you for your blessed humility. We thank you for your salvation. We thank thee for thy pardon and for thy peace. We thank thee for thy regeneration and the realization which comes through the Holy Spirit, who speaks with our spirits, you are the children of God. We thank you for your comfort. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your loveliness. We thank you, you do not bend to satisfy any lusts. We thank you that your love is pure. And your love, though splendid, is lowly. That cares for little things as well as great. But you made persons and you love them. In Jesus' name.